Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from chimpanzee all the way down to chimpanzee. This week, a very special guest in the Monkey House from Stupid Old Studios and the host of Gamey Gamey Game, it's Evan Munro Smith.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So good to have you back here in the Monkey House. What's this about, your third time in here?
Yeah, I think so.
And what times we've had.
Yeah.
Let's take a quiet moment to reminisce about the good times. Oh, yes. They were good times. When you were here not too long ago, I asked you, what's your favorite primate, Evan Munro Smith? And you told me that it would probably be the human. Now, some people love that as an idea. We did a primate of the year 2018 last week. We counted down the top five. And I didn't mention, but a couple of people voted for Evan's human.
So, great. It feels like such a cop-out.
It is. Could you give us a non-human primate? Do you have any? Or is that you said human because you're not aware of the existence of any non-human primates?
I know there are other ones. I just don't like them as much.
Right. You do spend a lot more time with humans, I guess.
Yes.
I wouldn't even call you an amateur primatologist. You're probably not a primatologist at all. Would that be fair to say?
I think that would be fair to say, yes. Well,
we still allow you in here because it's good to have a bit of an outsider perspective every now and then.
Is primatologist, is that the official?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That could not be any more official. That's so official it's in the dictionary.
Wow.
This week, Evan, we're going to talk about an episode of maybe the best ever sitcom. A lot of people called it that. Seinfeld.
Mm.
You would know this because we just watched an episode.
Yes.
About three minutes ago we finished it.
I've been watching it just this week. It's a show that I always go back to.
Yeah. So you're a fan?
Yeah.
And did you grow up with it?
Yes. Although I don't think I really discovered it properly until I was a bit older. I kind of knew it, but I hadn't really properly watched it and appreciated it until
it was after it was finished.
Oh, well and true, yeah.
Yep.
When did it finish?
Finished in the late 90s, I think.
Yeah, I feel like I maybe was barely even aware of it in the 90s.
Right.
I mean, I was not very old. I was 10 years old or something.
Butter boy, weren't you?
What?
You were a butter boy.
What does that mean?
You were a butter boy.
Oh, well, yes, I was butter boy.
Just love that butter. Little butter boy, Evan Munro Smith. But you've kicked that habit and now... you're eating greens and other vegetables and a much more rounded diet than just scooping that butter out of the tub.
Butter's great.
It ran from 1989 to 1998.
Which is my birth year.
From your birth year till your death year in 1998. So that's a funny coincidence.
Yeah.
But I got in there. I wasn't watching it from the start because I was pretty young then, but I was alive in 1989, but I don't remember that. I remember my old man used to watch. It was played quite late in Australia in the first couple of seasons, I think on Channel 9. Right. It's an interesting fact. Before Channel 10 picked it up.
So Australia was sort of slow on the uptake a bit?
I think it was a bit slow taking off in America too.
I remember Michael Richards on like Vodafone ads and stuff. I remember the craze about
it. I think that was when it started building, but I don't think it got, well, I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure it took a couple of years for it to really pop in a way that maybe TV shows aren't allowed to have that kind of time anymore. They might get cut if they don't take off straight away. But yeah, back then I think they gave shows a bit more time. It was a different time. Obviously 1989 was a pre 9/11 world, and they just gave things a little bit more time back then.
Do you ever talk about anything post 9/11?
I mean, we're here now.
It was a different time.
It was a different time. I mean, so was moments ago, technically. So this week we're going to talk about the episode called The Face Painter.
Yes.
And I'll read out the Rotten Tomatoes plot, if you like. Would you like that? Just in case you've forgotten since we watched it. This is what it says. After Putty's Elaine's boyfriend at this stage. This is season 6. So this episode came out in May 1995. After Putty goes all out for a New Jersey Devils game and embarrasses Jerry and Elaine, Kramer chastises Jerry for not being grateful enough for the free tickets. They're given free tickets by a man they bump into at the cafe, Tom's Diner, and
Alec Berg.
Alec Berg. And Kramer's like, you should call him the next day and thank him, which he doesn't do. And Kramer's not happy about that. Meanwhile, George believes he has found the perfect woman when he discovers his girlfriend enjoys his inane conversation topics. And Kramer is asked to apologize to a monkey. I mean, even in this... Anyway, Mark DiCarlo, Ray Burke, and Pierino Mascarino guest star. Originally airing May 11th, 1995, The Face Painter was the 22nd episode of the show's 6th season. So, yeah, they say monkey, and this is obviously the reason why it's in this episode. One of the subplots is George's girlfriend works at the zoo. Well, not even girlfriend. I guess they've been on like 2 dates.
Yeah, but he loves her already.
He loves her already
because she loves the toilet paper anecdote.
Yeah, he tells her that toilet paper hasn't changed since the beginning and it'll never change in their lifetime. And she's like, this is fascinating. And he's like, oh, my God, I love this woman. And then he says later that he's like, I think I'm going to tell her. And Jerry's like, are you sure it's a good idea? And George says he's only ever said it once before, and that was to a dog.
Yeah.
But apparently that's a goof. Did you know that, Evan?
Yes, no.
That is a goof because...
Because he has in the show.
Yeah, in episode 1 of season 2, The Ex-Girlfriend in 1991, George tells Jerry he had no choice but to tell his girlfriend he loved her.
Oh, wow.
So, interesting.
What's canon?
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I mean, canon might be that George has a bad memory.
Yeah. I was walking here today, this morning, and a guy told a dog to fuck off.
Similar.
I don't know why.
it's always funny when people treat animals as if they're humans that understand things.
I think what happened was I wasn't really looking until it happened, but I think the dog must have like gave him a fright, like barked. It was a small dog. and when sort of behind him, I don't know, maybe he wasn't paying attention. Dog barked at him. I think he jumped and like his glasses, maybe he had his glasses on his head or something, and they fell off. So he went to pick up the glasses, and I think the dog was being, I don't know. It was just a little dog. But I feel like he only said fuck off to the dog for my benefit. I think if I wasn't there, he wouldn't. Why would you say that?
As soon as you walk away, he goes to the dog. Hey, sorry, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that, baby. We can.
He
make
must
it
have
work.
Been humiliated by right. being frightened by the dog.
Right.
That's my.
So that was his. So you think it was sort of like him trying to.
Yeah, I think it's him going, no, I'm confident.
I'm tough.
Fuck off, dog.
I don't care. I don't care about a dog. I'm so sorry, dog. I really do care about you. That was all for the benefit of that man walking past.
Is there an explanation to why George said he loved a dog?
No, that's just a little joke, I guess.
Yeah, right.
A little joke that he's never told a human before that he loved him. That's fun. To a dog.
Mm.
I did get through that. That's how the episode goes. So it's a very small subplot where they talk about a chimp.
Mm.
So the way it plays out is that
Kramer's telling Jerry that he's already been to the zoo and there was an altercation. Maybe I'll play that now.
Hey, Jerry, you're a smart guy, right? No question about it. You know I was supposed to go on this special tour today with George's girlfriend?
At the zoo?
Yeah, yeah. But before I met up with her, I stopped to look at the monkeys when all of a sudden I am hit in the face with a banana peel. I turn and look, and there is this monkey really laughing it up. Now someone tells me that he did it. Well, I pick up the banana peel, and I wait for that monkey to turn around, and then I let him have it.
Kramer, you threw a banana peel at a monkey?
Well, he started it.
It's a monkey, Kramer.
Well, he pushed my buttons. I couldn't help it, Jerry.
Well, I still think it's wrong.
All right, fine. You take the monkey's side. All right, go ahead.
I'm not taking anyone's side.
Well, I know what happened, Jerry.
Yeah, so there was that altercation, right? And it's obviously putting to one side the fact that they both keep calling this chimpanzee a monkey, very frustratingly. So it all actually took me right out of the world. I started thinking, oh, this isn't real. People aren't so stupid.
I think most people probably just don't know the difference.
Yeah. No, I probably didn't know the difference a year ago. But no, that's not true. But yeah, I think there is something about chimpanzees being, I reckon when I was a kid, if someone said draw a monkey, I would have probably drawn a chimpanzee.
Yeah.
Or chimpanzee. But
they're classic monkeys.
Yeah.
Well, they're not monkeys.
No, they're not monkeys.
But and they're classic monkeys.
The show does actually start at, so classically the Seinfeld starts with Jerry doing some of his material in a club, and his bit at the start of the show was about chimpanzees being the first astronauts. It's a good bit.
Yes. It was a good bit. It's a quality monkey stand-up. He says monkeys.
He does say monkeys.
Monkeys are really the end of the line in the pet world. I think when you're at the monkey level of pet ownership, have a kid. I mean, come on. I mean, you're so close. If you need a pet that can roller skate and smoke cigars, it's time to think about a family. Monkeys, of course, were the first astronauts in the 60s, which I'm sure made perfect sense in the monkey brain. I feel that is the next logical step for me. Because I've been working with the Italian guy in the crank organ, and I think I'm ready to handle the maximum re-entry G-forces.
Why don't we just play the episode? Then we don't have to describe anything or talk about it.
Well, yeah, maybe just watch the episode. We're doing this for reviewing purposes, Evan.
Okay.
Are you questioning this?
No, I'm reviewing. It was a good episode, I think. That's my review.
I really enjoyed it as well. I've looked up the Vulture have ranked all episodes, all 160-something episodes. Where would you have it? So you've seen every episode now, do you think?
Oh, jeez.
169.
Yeah, but I mean, I have it. Yeah, I have seen them all in my lifetime, but not for a while.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the ones that it's a memorable episode. Like it's not, yeah, there are episodes that are pretty reasonably forgettable, I think. And I think the show probably, the start and end of the series with, you know, not quite as good. Like it peaks probably around, you know, seasons 5, 6, 7. But this one, particularly for the character of Putty, like it's definitely his most memorable episode. I feel like it's oh man, it's probably in the top 10.
Yeah, right.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm only going off one person's rankings here. Vulture. And I mean, can you...
The Vulture
from
Brooklyn
Spider-Man.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. they've ranked at number 49.
Really?
Yeah, number 49. So...
What episodes has it put ahead of this episode?
You want me to go through 48 episodes?
Throw some at me.
The very next one is The Seven. George always wanted to name a child Seven.
Oh, that's I watched that. I watched that earlier this week. That's a good episode.
Yeah, right. Did you know that Erica Badu and Andre 3000 named their child Seven?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Fantastic. That is a fantastic fact. The Library, The Wizard, The Non-Fat Yogurt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And number one, The Contest, where they try not to wank.
Yeah.
First one to wank loses. That's sort of probably, it's definitely one of the most iconic.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't watched that one for a while. What episode, what season is it?
Season 4. Nothing from season 1, 2, or 9.
Where it really hit its stride.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's all from two-thirds of the entire season. But yeah, this one they've sort of ranked at sort of the bottom of the top third.
Yeah, right. So it's, you know, it's on the list.
It's
like every other episode.
It made the list. It made the list of all episodes ever, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite character in Seinfeld?
No, not really. It's a bit of an ensemble.
Yeah.
Watching this episode back, it renewed my appreciation of Putty. I think he's just really funny. He's a great character.
Yeah.
Because Patrick Warburton's great, but just like whoever's idea or to have this character just like so emotionless and deadpan.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's right. he's just like every delivery is really funny.
That was so funny. So during the episode, Elaine breaks up with him.
David, I don't think we should see each other anymore.
You gotta be kidding. How come?
Just unfazed.
That's so good.
Really funny.
I think I'd say probably Kramer would have been my favorite of the ensemble. But right. Yeah, they're all very important characters. Maybe Elaine.
Did that change after the racist tirade?
Wow. I mean, that wasn't the character doing that.
No.
Putty's got to be one of the best sort of, I mean, every episode's got a new iconic guest character.
Yeah. I don't know if they're all iconic.
They're all iconic.
That's probably a bit generous. But George is great. They're all great. Jerry, maybe not so great. Is Jerry great?
I think Jerry's great. But he's the putty that yes. keeps everything together.
Yeah.
Whereas putty is sort of more like the bricks. That doesn't make sense.
No.
No.
It makes right. no sense.
Damn
at
it.
All.
I really thought that was going to make some sense. Do you want to hear some, trivia from IMDb?
Sure.
Clips of David Putty in his face paint while acting out his support for the Devils have been routinely shown on the arena scoreboards at New Jersey Devils home games. It's fun. So he's.
Yeah. What a gift to the team.
I wonder where. I'll look up where Patrick Warburton's from. Because imagine if you didn't already have a team, you'd have to jump on board the Devils.
Yeah.
He is from New Jersey.
Oh, well, there you go.
So he may well be. Maybe that's even why they did it. I'm not sure. But yeah, Putty.
Putty.
Great character, Putty.
Yes. Are they still together after this? Is Putty still in it?
He comes and goes a couple of times, I think.
Did they break up off screen, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, it's almost alluded to that would be the case. But
yes.
But I feel like it's not the end for them, I'm pretty sure. There's another subplot in the movie which kind of intertwined with the
episode.
The episode, sorry about that.
Maybe a bit too generous there.
It's like, I think of it as a short film. Yep. So the funeral tickets are the funeral tickets. The tickets for the ice hockey are given to them by Alec Berg, and they bump into him at a funeral, which is John Lovitz's character's funeral, which is interesting because he wasn't in the episode. They've just decided to kill off a character from a previous episode to tie it in somehow. For the character, Gary Fogel, which is a great name, John Lovitz's character, pretended to have cancer in episode 13 of season 6 in order to get gifts from people. And Jerry had given him a toupee, and apparently Fogel died from not paying attention while he was fixing it. So Jerry was sort of indirectly responsible for the death, sort of.
Well.
Very indirectly.
Very indirectly.
I mean, his present, he was distracted by the present Jerry gave him.
Yeah.
When he was hit by a car. I mean, you probably have to take some responsibility for that, John Lovitz, to be honest, but don't you think? He was the one being distracted.
Yeah, I'd say he probably bears almost all of the responsibility in that situation.
I reckon a judge would almost definitely throw that out of court.
It's not like the situation with the woman who just wears a bra walking down the street and causes an accident because Kramer is distracted by the woman who's just wearing a bra, a gift that was given by Elaine.
The bra?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
This is season 7. Sorry, this is just because I was watching this earlier in the week.
It's not because you're obsessed with bras.
No.
Because that's what a few people said to me lately. They're like, Evan
really?
Is obsessed with bras.
No. It's, I just happened to be watching it earlier in the week. There's the character, I forget her name. She's the heir to the O. Henry chocolate bar fortune.
Yeah.
And she doesn't wear a bra. And Elaine has to give her a gift. It must be a birthday or something.
Right.
And so
it's a real monkey paw situation where she doesn't know the unintended consequences of the gift. She's like, oh, yeah. Now she'll start wearing a bra and a top.
Yeah, it was supposed to send a message. She starts wearing it as a top, and then there's the thing like, God, does she not know what a bra is? She's just wearing it as a top because that's what she thinks it's a top.
Right.
But then she comes into Elaine's office at Peterman's, and Elaine says, oh, that's actually a bra, that's not a top. And she says, I know.
Right.
So it's like, is she just doing it to spite Elaine, or
she just has fashion sense that you don't understand, Evan.
Yeah, maybe, and then Elaine, she causes an accident. None of this is chimp related, but she causes the car accident because Kramer's driving, sees her. Anyway, the lawyer gets involved. Another great character,
Jackie Childs.
Yes, Jackie.
He's a great character.
Very good.
Iconic.
Yeah,
you're gonna pay that one.
Yeah, I think he's iconic. I mean, he's one that comes up. I think a lot of the side characters that come and go are iconic.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of, like, just girlfriends that
Peterman's got to be one of the
best characters. Yeah, absolutely. He's great.
So good.
What's George's boss's name? Him as well.
Larry David.
Yeah.
What is he?
The guy died not that long ago.
I mean, you keep talking, I'll look it up.
I liked in this episode, I think they really showed the length of Jerry Seinfeld's telephone cord, because Kramer is able to pick up the telephone from the coffee table and take the handset all the way into Jerry in the kitchen. That's a long cord on a phone. I've never had a phone with a cord that long.
Yeah, it was basically cordless.
Almost.
There was so much cord that it was like there was no cord.
I'm sure I've seen Jerry with a cordless phone, and maybe that's a season 7 thing. Maybe he upgrades.
They're always at the forefront of technology.
He has a car phone, it's mentioned at one point.
Yeah. And that is, I mean, still that's today, that is right at the cutting edge. Imagine having a phone in your car. That little twirly aerial at the back.
Yeah.
Little pig's tail. The boss of the Yankees, George's boss, was George Steinbrenner.
Yes, Steinbrenner. Yes.
Another great character.
Loves calzones.
Georgie boy. Love that calzone. That surprised me even how spot on that impersonation was.
Should we talk more about the chimp? I feel like we've gone off topic here.
Okay.
I
mean, it is a podcast. That does happen.
So the chimp, his name is Barry.
Great right? name. Barry the chimp. Yep. So close to the perfect name, which would be Gary, but I'll accept Barry.
Is a good chimp. He only appears in one scene right at the end.
It's a real good-looking chimp too. It's just, I reckon it's one of the finest examples of a chimp that I've seen on screen.
Mm.
And a fantastic performance.
Yeah.
So they've got to the point where Kramer's been convinced that he's got to go and apologize to this chimp. Kramer was furious with how he was treated by the chimp.
Mm.
He didn't want to apologize. It took him quite a lot of convincing.
Because animals can't understand.
No, but
there's no point telling a chimp to thanking a chimp. There's no point in telling a dog to fuck off, or telling a dog that you love them.
Well, a chimp's a little more likely than a dog. Yeah. Dogs are idiots. Chimps are the brainiacs of the animal community.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, they can act, right?
This is
a good acting chimp.
It's a great acting chimp.
They didn't have CGI back in 1995, is it?
Yeah, not back then.
It's a real chimp.
And its face, Barry's face, when he was not accepting the apology, just blank face. It was so funny. It was a great comedic performance.
Anyway, I just want to say that I'm sorry. I lost my temper, and I probably shouldn't have. I took it out on you, and look, if I've caused you any problems as a result of my behavior, well then, I'm sorry. I apologize. Even though you know, Barry, between me and you, we both know that you started it. I mean, who's kidding who? But they tell me that you're very upset, and God forbid I should disturb the very important monkey. I'm just hoping we can put this behind us. Let's just move on with our lives, okay? So no hard feelings?
When Kramer sort of getting to the end of his apology, Barry squirts from his mouth, which is an amazing stream of water into Kramer's face, giving Kramer a great chance to do his sort of full body convulsion.
Yeah.
Beautifully acted on by both parties. and I think it's just another bad snub from the Academy Awards for this beautiful performance in a short film.
The chimp's name is Ripley.
Believe it or not.
Yes.
I believe it.
Is
that true? Ripley?
Yeah,
do you know much? So do you know much about this chimp?
No, I just what I read briefly was that Ripley was not acting anymore because he got too big.
Oh, too big for his boots. Well, I think when you have that kind of talent, eventually your belief will get too big.
So he retired to a zoo in, I think, Nebraska, where I think the most notable thing is that there was he escaped with, I think, three other monkey chimps, I presume chimps, primates.
Yeah.
Pretty safe. Yeah. And two of them were shot dead.
Oh, fuck. For being smart enough to get out.
Well, no, someone left the door open.
Yeah, and they were smart enough to walk through it.
Right. Well,
they weren't institutionalized. That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. Nobody got hurt.
You just said they got shot.
Well, no. No people, sorry. No humans.
Oh, I forget. Got hurt. I forget you're a humanist. The worst of the worst.
There was a woman with a child, I think, who was like face to face with one of them and, but like scared it away, screamed at it or something, and it went away. That could have gone either way, you know? Like, I guess that's what they're thinking when the director of the zoo gets out his revolver and...
Yeah, it's me or the chimp.
Well, what do you do?
They
shot it with tranquilizers and it had no effect. So they ended up gunning him down. Anyway, but the point
what
is...
What kind of tranquilizers are they using?
I don't know. Chimp tranquilizers?
It doesn't sound like it. Sounds like they were using vole tranquilizers or something.
Vole?
They're small animals.
Oh.
I don't know why vole wasn't ideal.
I don't know what a vole is.
I think they're not from Australia.
A Volvo?
Let me give you an Australian example. They were using echidna tranquilizers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Now you're with me?
Yeah.
Numbat?
Is a numbat a thing?
Yeah.
That's a real thing?
That's an Australian...
Is a numbat, is that related to a wombat?
Maybe distantly. I think they're both marsupials.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. What's a marsupial?
Marsupial is it's like a subset of animals. They're
like primate?
Yeah, it's like primate, yeah.
But they're mutually exclusive?
Yeah.
Great.
So, like most of the classic Australian animals are marsupials, koalas, possums, kangaroos, wallabies, rock wallabies.
They're all marsupials.
Bilbies. I'm pretty sure. I'm not a marsupial.
It's a topic for another podcast.
Yeah.
marsupi mates.
I'm not a marsupi mate. Please. Okay.
Anyway, so but Ripley, before the whole incident with the guns, was also in Ace Ventura and Junior. As well. So
Ace Ventura Junior.
No.
Or both.
Junior being a different film to Ace Ventura. Oh, the one
with Junior with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I haven't seen that film.
Imagine if Arnold Schwarzenegger was a primate. I think it would sound a little something. He is a primate, so fair enough.
Yes. One of my favorites, the human.
Yes.
Maybe we should do Junior one day.
What is...
We should go through Ripley's
back
filmography.
Junior. I'm trying to think what that was. Is that when he had a kid?
Yeah, that's when, Arnold Schwarzenegger gets pregnant.
Right. Yeah. I never got around to seeing it.
I'm familiar with the VHS cover, but I have not seen the film.
Yeah. Jeez, he was big. He was big news in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. Twins. Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
He played Dr. Freeze.
Yes.
In Batman... 4 or 5, if they even rank them like that.
One of the most disliked Batman films.
I saw it at the cinemas.
I didn't dislike
it. As
that
a
film.
Child.
I thought it was fine.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
Colorful action. I didn't know. Back then, any movie would
George Clooney.
Great. Yeah.
What's wrong with George Clooney?
If that was, I mean, if they were only worried about what kids thought, that movie would be seen as being a great movie. The problem is with so many movies is people care what adults think. And adults dislike stuff.
You should not.
Kids like most things. Be like kids. Love everything.
I've been thinking a bit recently about the Orville, which is Seth MacFarlane's sci-fi series.
I watched the start of an episode the other night.
Oh, yeah?
And it was not what I was expecting. It was like a soapy.
It's... Right. Well, it's definitely... It certainly wasn't what I was expecting, because I was expecting a...
Jokes? I thought it was a comedy.
But it sort of is. But that's the thing, is it's like what you're expecting is it to be a... like a Family Guy style parody of Star Trek.
Yeah.
But it really isn't. It's actually like it's a proper sci-fi show, really. Right. Like it's not there to be a parody. It's more like an homage.
Yeah. Cuz yeah, I think he obviously loves sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not, it isn't packed with jokes. In fact, the first episode is probably about as jokey as it gets.
Yeah.
And I really like it. But one of the interesting things is that it's one of these shows where the critics absolutely hate it, but the fans really like it. Right. So you're looking at Rotten Tomatoes or whatever, critic score is terribly low, but the fan score, audience score, whatever it is really high, which is, and sometimes that's flipped.
Yeah, the Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars is an example of that being the opposite. So it's interesting those situations where just because you were talking about caring what adults think,
yeah.
It's interesting looking at like what do the critics think, and even matter if they're right. So like kind of out of touch with what?
Yeah, what's the point of them if it's not?
Yeah,
I mean, I guess the point is they're trying to say if it's got a bigger value.
Yeah, right. Like they're doing a more like critical analysis of what it is, which is, and I can see that. Like it's.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I think it's an enjoyable show and it has value, but I can also see the side of it where it's like, well, it's borrowing a lot from Star Trek, and so it's right. It's not super innovative or original kind of in that way, but I think they're too quick to write it off. Anyway, as far as I know, there's no primates in it, so except for humans. Obviously, there's humans.
Well, but I mean, just your point about critics slamming a thing that other people love. I mean, that happens where over time the critical opinion changes as well. I was reading recently a review from when The Shining came out, just slamming it.
Yeah, right.
And obviously that turned around in time. I've just looked up this article on Bustle.com. It's got films that were panned when they first came out. It's a Wonderful Life, which is seen as like an all-time classic now.
Mm-hmm.
Vertigo. I mean, these are all going to be classics.
Yeah, I guess.
Alien, surprising.
Oh, really? Ripley.
Ripley. Another Ripley. They're everywhere. Godzilla.
I reckon that chimp might have been named after the alien.
Right. Ripley.
But I don't know. I've got nothing to base that on except it's the same name.
I believe it. Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great film. Right. Office Space, another great film. The Shining, which I said. I'm skipping a few. The Thing, Wet Hot American Summer. I really like that film as well. Pretty much every Orson Welles movie, including Citizen Kane.
Really?
Yeah, that's funny. The Wizard of Oz.
Wow.
So yeah, that's the thing that you sort of, I think sometimes movies and music and everything needs a bit of time to settle before critics have to usually come out and review something straight away.
Yeah.
It's got to be while it's brand new. I find I need to sit with an album for quite a few listens before I come to it, an opinion on it.
Mm.
It must be hard. I've seen reviews of like Abbey Road and stuff that were just like brutal.
Yeah. I read a review of an album the other day that I did not agree with. Anyway, that's
a good anecdote. I don't think you could say any more to make that any more interesting.
It was,
what was the album?
It was It was Chef Aid, the South Park album.
Yeah.
Which...
Salty Balls, Chocolate Salty
yeah,
Balls.
Yeah, yeah. It's an album from my childhood, so that's... I'm biased in that way because I'm nostalgic about it. Because I had this weird South Park obsession and I listened to it a lot. So I've kind of got that tint on the whole thing. People that are on that album, like, it's really very good. The lineup, like, it's DMX, Old Dirty Bastard, Elton John. Elton John wrote a song for that album. Like, I think it's one of his better songs, maybe. It's a good song.
What is it?
Wake Up Wendy.
No. Wake Up Wendy.
But, like, Primus, System of a Down are on there.
They wrote a song. System of a Down wrote a song for that.
Well, that's one of the examples of it's a song called Will They Die For You, which was an existing song. I think it's Master P or someone. And the producer, Rick Rubin, who produced the album, took that original song and then redid it with System of a Down on it. And so it's like it is an existing song, but that version of the song is a new thing.
You know, Rick Rubin lost like 100 pounds in a year.
Really?
Something like that. I read that recently.
Weight?
Weight.
Right.
Because 100 pounds in money would not be noteworthy for a guy who's probably
one note.
Multimillionaire. Not noteworthy, just a note. Very good. But he apparently does daily saunas. That's one of his hot tips.
Really?
Quite literally a hot tip, yeah.
He
loves it, just hanging out in his home sauna.
A home sauna?
Home sauna, yeah.
Wow. That'd cost you more than 100 pounds.
That's the other half. That's how the other half live. I reckon probably even less than half of the world
Much
has home saunas.
Much less than half.
Probably that's how the other 1% live.
The 1%. I'm just going to list some more people. The Crystal Method.
This is from Chef Aid.
Yeah. Ween, Joe Strummer.
That is a great lineup.
More people. There's even more people than the people that I've mentioned.
Nearly all of those are legends.
Tom Morello, Isaac Hayes, obviously. Ike Turner, Devo.
Shit.
Wyclef Jean, Perry Farrell.
Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction.
Lil' Kim, Rancid, Ozzy Osbourne. Did I say that already? Anyway, lots of great people and some good music. It also made me appreciate how talented Trey Parker is. Man, this is really off topic. I'm sorry.
It's relatively off topic, but I think that's how podcasts go, man.
All right, great.
Bring us back. Bring us back to Seinfeld.
All right.
Did you know anything else about Ripley the Chimp?
No, that's all I knew.
But the performance as Barry should have won an award. And he's been involved in a jailbreak, which was like, I mean, I hate to hear that. Human's incompetence led to chimps being shot dead by probably the same humans.
Yeah, it feels like it's not really their fault.
It's definitely not their fault that they were captured at some point, made to act, and put in a zoo. Like, that's not their... None of that's their fault. And then they get shot because some idiot left the door open. Ah, the worst.
But it's a good reminder that they're dangerous animals. Like, they're big and they, like, that's kind of... That's you kind of have to do that.
They are definitely dangerous, and that's why if you have put them in a cage, keep the cage door shut. Like, you can't put none of that goes back onto the chimps. What, like, any level of that? Maybe we shouldn't be making them act and stuff, which it probably doesn't happen as much anymore now that Andy Serkis is sort of.
Yeah, he's sort of taken up that whole area, right?
He's probably acts better than any chimp could be as a chimp, apart from Ripley. I'd love to see Andy Serkis try and recreate that scene with Michael Richards. I don't know if he could.
It's pretty good for a sitcom in the 90s. Often that stuff is not well put together. Like, it's TVs weren't high definition back then. One thing I've noticed watching Seinfeld recently is how much of the show is out of focus.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
so
weird.
So much of the show is out of focus. It's really weird.
As a cameraman yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a lot of shooting.
That is something you would notice a lot.
Yeah, you want things to be in focus.
Do you like being described as a cameraman? Or are you offended by that?
No, it's fine.
television director who knows how to work a camera.
I know how to work a camera. Yeah, it's kind of surprising that you like so much of it because it's been remastered in HD now, and you can see it's like, right. Well, they are definitely focused on the background there, and they're not focused on Elaine's face.
That's weird.
However, the maybe scene with the monkey.
Do you think Julia
Chimp Louis-Dreyfus?
Louis-Dreyfus, maybe she said, "Hey,
be kind.
I'm stealing this scene anyway. Give the background a little bit of time. Hey, give a bit of focus on the background. My acting abilities are going to steal this scene either way. Don't even have to point it maybe, at me and I'll still make this funny." Yeah,
that's why Veep is out of focus all the time as well.
Right.
But so I was kind of surprised that they got a good performance out of the chimp.
Yeah, the chimp's performance was great. The set designer's either performance or budget was not great because that zoo was clearly a room in the studio. That they put, like, even in the 90s, chimps weren't made to live in like 4x4 meter cells. Yeah. That was more like that wasn't a zoo. That was a jail.
Yeah, that definitely looked like a jail.
I reckon they'd repurposed that from like a CSI or something.
Oh yeah.
Or CSI wouldn't have been around back then. NYPD Blue with Jimmy Smits. I get all those confused.
I never watched NYPD Blue.
No, neither did any. Well, I'm sure
people
did.
Must have watched
it. People probably did watch it.
It's a show that I've heard of.
At least the makers of it before they put it out. I think it was quite popular. Anyway, NYPD Blue, Jimmy Schmitz, great name.
Yeah?
Maybe one of the best.
Have you seen it?
The show?
NYPD Blue?
No, it just sounds boring.
But who's Jimmy Schmitz? You know who that is?
Yeah, he's an actor.
Oh.
Jimmy Schmitz. Let me quickly.
I thought this might have been a character, a detective or something.
Oh, no, Jimmy Schmitz is an actor. Jimmy Smits. He's been in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
He was in NYPD Blue. Yeah. No, sorry, LA Law, sorry.
Oh.
No, and NYPD Blue.
Whoa.
And The West Wing.
What a roller coaster.
And Dexter and Sons of Anarchy. So if you don't know Jimmy Smits, that's not on me, Evan.
Which Star Wars?
Have you ever turned on a TV? If you turn on a TV, you got a 50-50 chance that Jimmy Smits' face will be there. Star Wars, Rogue One, which I saw with you at the cinemas.
Oh, yes.
I slept through part of it, but you didn't. and he was in the prequel trilogy as well.
Great.
What
character? Stormtrooper?
Bail Organa of Alderaan.
No, I don't know.
I'm
more of a Star Trek guy.
Really?
As we've discussed.
What is, and the divide there is like Star Wars people are normal and Star Trek people are sort of like don't see the sunshine. Is that kind of, is that it? Like they're all hiding in basements?
That's, no, I'm not sure about
no,
that.
No, I'm being an arsehole. I saw the two most recent Star Trek films.
The new ones with Chris Pine.
Yeah, yep. I thought they were great. But growing up,
they're quite different.
Right. There was something in my head that Star Trek, you know, there's that hand salute. And that was always the parodied nerd. That was like full-on geek culture Star Trek. And that was always felt so foreign to me because I was a jock. I was not a jock. But
you're not a nerd.
But well, I mean, I'm some sort of a nerd.
Your philosophy is that everyone's a nerd, right?
I think so. Everyone's a nerd.
Everyone's
something.
Got a topic.
Yeah.
You're just a football nerd.
I'm a football nerd, exactly. Whatever. But I'm also getting way more into classically nerd things over the last few years via the directorship of yourself and Nick Maso Mason.
Uh-huh, yes.
And such people. Listening to the Weekly Planet podcast has definitely helped me understand everything a bit better.
Yes.
And watching your show Gamer Game about video games.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that is definitely a nerd thing. Video games.
Which is fun. Anyway, Jimmy Smits.
Not from Star Trek.
What were we talking about?
I can't remember.
Star Trek. But yeah, those last two Star Trek films were, I think they were really good, but were they made to be more like mainstream Hollywood movies?
Totally, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Totally different.
Because it was, I watched them, I thought, oh, this is different to what I was expecting. And that's because it was different.
Yes.
Patrick Stewart and stuff was a different.
Yeah, a different sort of thing, except the movies have always been a bit different. They're always a bit more actiony and dramatic.
A bit more budget.
Exactly. Yeah, everything is sort of heightened in the movies.
Yeah, it feels like Star Trek. I was, as a kid, whenever I accidentally turned on Doctor Who, I hated it. Like, it would normally be an old rerun like the 80s or before, and it would... there's something about it, like the low-budget sci-fi that is real spooky. Maybe not spooky, but it's just like it doesn't feel good to watch.
I have wanted to like Doctor Who, but I cannot. I'm disappointed every time I watch it.
But people love that. And
this is another one where for some reason people like Doctor Who. This is, I might get slammed for this, but I really think the writing and stuff has been quite bad. And it's been better this season. But I mean, with Matt Smith and even Peter Capaldi on it, it was just like, oh, come on, dude.
I wasn't so good.
Write better scripts.
Right. Because I've also heard people say that this season, the cast and stuff's great, but the writing isn't as good. But I guess every season's going to have people falling on different sides.
It's still maybe not quite as good as it could be. There have been great episodes of Doctor Who, in the past 10 years or whatever, but so much of it is disappointing and so much of it is not well written, and it's really disappointing.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I do find that show, more than any other, I hear contradicting criticisms of it.
Yeah, some people love it.
Some people love certain elements or certain periods of it, and other people will go, it's better than this. And other people go, no, that was when it was best.
Right.
I hear everyone seems to have a different opinion about it.
Yeah. It's probably one of those things where it's like you probably have some nostalgia about a certain time. And I definitely do. I was most into it when it was David Tennant. So I'm mostly sort of in that world. And then he left.
Right.
And I feel like it hasn't been as good since, which I'm attributing to the writing, and I think it is because of the writing, but also
there's got to be some because nostalgia.
It's a different. Yeah, I'd certainly acknowledge that.
Whenever people get into something that and things change, it's always going to be hard to get past the. It's like if you hear a cover of a song, if you hear the cover before the original, I feel like people more often than not prefer the cover, and vice versa.
Yeah. And I'm also definitely forgetting the bad bit. Like, I'm sure there were terrible episodes in David Tennant's run, but I can't remember them. I remember the good ones. Whereas recently I've been remembering the bad ones.
Right.
Because they're so bad.
Right.
Man, I've been gobsmacked by some of these episodes. I'm just like, how did that get through? How did anyone think that was any good? And then I'll go and look at like AV Club or something, and they're like, yeah, that was like a B+. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Well, there you go. People have different opinions about stuff.
I mean, yes, but some of these, you're just like, how do you explain this is like objectively bad writing, you know?
Right.
I think.
Let's go back to Seinfeld again.
Oh yeah, right. That's what we're talking about.
The
good writing
on Vulture. Yeah, the lowest ranked three episodes. Two of them are from the last season, and I think some people attribute season 9 being less good is because Larry David left.
Oh right.
So it,
I forgot that Larry David left. So yeah. Why did he leave?
He's just like, I think he just couldn't do it anymore. It wasn't like he hated anyone. It was more like he just needed to move on.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so Seinfeld's the key characters have all moved on to different things since. So you've got Jerry sort of had a go at a few different things. He did B-movie, which I thought was a pretty good kids movie.
Yeah, it was fine.
I never saw this, but he did something called The Marriage Ref or something. It was like...
Oh, yes. It was
sort of a comedy reality show where partners would take a dispute to some sort of a referee.
I just remember that being announced. I'm like, oh, that's a weird thing for Jerry Seinfeld to be doing.
Same a bit.
I also, different. Like, for some reason, this sticks in my mind. I remember seeing Jerry Seinfeld in an ad for an Australian building society.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? This doesn't make any sense at all.
Needed the dollars, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He did a few ads. He did American Express ads.
He's so wealthy, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you can always...
There's so many cars.
You can always get more money in cars, I guess. I think that's the super rich people love money.
I remember Jerry Seinfeld doing a video series for Microsoft, because I am a bit of a nerd. Anyway, he does this video, and there's this thing with him and Bill Gates talking about how they're out of touch with people. And he says, he's saying to Bill Gates has got so many cars he gets stuck in his own traffic. I liked that line.
That's a good line.
Talking about how out of touch he is.
What do you think of comedians and cars getting coffee?
I like it. I think it's I haven't watched all of them, but I like the idea.
It gets bagged a lot, but I like it too.
I don't see what's wrong with it.
Yeah, but I think people have just turned on him.
Right.
Because he's kind of a bit of a grumpy old man now.
Yeah, and he's had a few sort of public things, like who did he refuse to hug Kesha or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, that was a bit of fun.
Yeah, I mean, there's those things where you're just like, oh, that's a bit of a jerk move. But then you think about it, like, that's Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah,
like,
his whole show was about that. Yeah. Yeah.
But somehow the show is framed in a way that it's like, oh, we all love that. Isn't that funny? Yeah. Whereas in real life, you're like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah. If he was a real person,
he needs a studio audience following him around.
Right. Yeah, he's. I think he does some weird things sometimes, but says some stuff that's a bit out of touch. But
yeah,
I think I don't know. I like that show. It's fun, easy watching.
Yeah.
That probably almost brings us to the end of the episode, Evan. Normally we talk about because scientist and previous guest Andy Matthews, he told us that about 98% of DNA is shared between chimps and humans.
Right.
So we say in the episode, we talk about, in this case, Barry the chimp. How much of yourself as a percentage do you see of yourself in Barry the chimp?
I don't know, 50%?
50%. What's the 50?
Number of limbs.
Yep.
I feel like I can relate much to Barry the chimp.
Really? I reckon I don't think I would have accepted Kramer's apology either. So I think I'd probably be a bit higher, maybe 79.
Oh, that's fair enough.
Yeah. And I reckon if a door's left open, I would leave.
Yeah, my cage. I probably would too. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They're going to try and shoot me.
Yeah. Pretty much everything that Barry / Ripley did, I would do. So maybe I should say higher. I'm going to say 94.
Yeah, right.
We have different color hair, and I'm not quite as hairy on my limbs and torso.
I think at the time I might have accepted an apology from Kramer.
Right. The only thing.
But now I'm definitely more tainted by.
Right. Okay. I think my because you're a soy boy. I think my the only thing I take away from me is I don't have the comic timing of Ripley.
No.
/ Barry. So
funny. Yeah, I couldn't do a performance like that.
Such a good performance. I don't think nearly anyone could, including
spitting water on Kramer's face.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
How many bananas do you give this episode out of a bunch of bananas, however big you see a bunch being? And how ripe are those bananas?
I got some bananas recently. The last time I bought bananas was like a week or two ago, and I bought like five of them. So maybe five.
Five bananas.
Is the amount that it's out of.
Yep.
And I would give it four, which is the number of bananas left from that bunch, because that was a bad bunch of bananas.
Bad bunch.
It was not good. I don't know what was wrong with it.
There's nothing worse than a bad bunch of
they
bananas.
They were sort of green when I bought them, and I thought, all right, that they'll, you know, in a day or so, they'll be good. But they weren't. They never got good. I don't know what it was about them.
That's
really disappointing.
Yeah. So you gave four out of eight, and they were disappointing.
No, four out of five. Yes.
But the bananas weren't of a good quality.
That's right.
That's a confusing break. I'd give this episode. I really enjoyed the episode. I think that that one subplot we didn't talk about too much, or it wasn't even a subplot. It was off the face painting plot where Putty walked in front of the car with a priest in it.
Yeah.
And he started yelling at it with his face painted like a devil. He started yelling, oh, we're the devils!
Yeah.
The devils! And the priest is like, said something we don't understand in Spanish.
El Diablo.
And then at the very end of the episode, Elaine goes to visit him because he's sick, because he thinks he's seen the devil.
Yeah, he's gone mad because he thinks he's seen the devil.
And she goes to visit him. She's wearing all white, and the sun comes in over her head, and he thinks it's Mother Mary. Virgin Mary, should I say. Jesus' mum. It does say here on IMDb, the sentences spoken in Spanish by the priest but not translated via subtitles are, so when Party's yelling at him, the priest says, "The devil, my God, the devil." And then in the scene with Elaine at the end, he says, "The Madonna, Mother of Christ, I'm not ready." I guess he thinks he's been taken to heaven. Yeah. Oh, there was one other fun fact I should say. You know, Kramer's character is based on a real guy called Kenny Kramer.
Oh, yeah.
In the crowd at Madison Square Garden, you can see Kenny Kramer in the background wearing a Blue Rangers jersey and cheering for the team, which I missed.
That's yeah, it. I mean, I wouldn't even have known to look.
That's true. Funnily enough, I wasn't focusing on the extras, but yeah. I think I'd give this episode, I'd give it 4 very edible bananas out of 6.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I don't know if that means I like it more or less than you.
That's two less. Thirds, but, well, but
the bananas. Bananas are better quality.
Right. It was. I think it was a good episode. I think it was funny. It made me laugh.
And then just quickly, let's do Circus Watch. We haven't done this in a few weeks. And I just Googled Andy Serkis before, and there's an article from a few days ago entitled, and it's an ET exclusive from ET Online. Andy Serkis' son, Lewis, shares the acting advice he got from his dad. Do you want to hear what this is, Evan? Any guesses?
It's got to be something about ping pong balls.
You reckon? Make sure you get them balls in the right spot, son.
That's what it's all about.
My dad came down quite a lot supporting me. This is during the filming of The Kid Who Would Be King.
That's
a new movie about... It's sort of like a new take on The Sword and the Stone sort of thing.
Right.
My dad came down quite a lot supporting me, watching me, and told me I was doing all right, he said. But the best advice he gave me was, don't look into the camera. That's the thing I always tell people as a director, which is don't look at the lens, Serkis explained.
Is his son an actor?
Yeah.
In the film?
Yep.
Okay.
That feels like...
And the advice he's giving him is don't look at the camera.
And as a director, that's something he always tells people. I don't know. Is this a bit?
This seems...
Don't look into the camera. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to reshoot the whole film.
If as a Hollywood director, you're having to tell people to stop looking at the camera.
Stop looking at the camera. And stop saying, hey, I'm just acting.
Yeah.
Stop saying, I'm just acting. My real name is Matt Stewart. Stop saying that into the camera.
Jeez.
That's good advice. So if there are any budding actors out there listening, I mean, take that straight from the king, Andy Serkis. Don't look into the bloody camera 2 seconds and do some acting, mate.
So Andy Serkis, did he direct this film?
No, he was just dropping in to see his son.
Oh, right, okay.
See his son perform. Bit of quality time.
He directed the...
Mowgli?
Yes.
He did.
And no one looking at the camera in that film?
No.
From memory?
No, it was all, I mean, yeah, that's
all right. Off-camera gaze.
Yeah, that's right, which is really good. I really like that movie. And since I saw the original Disney Jungle Book, I like it even more. I think it's real good. They're so different. It's amazing.
Hang on, you liked Mowgli?
I did, yeah, I liked it.
Oh, right.
I think I liked
it. I couldn't get past the faces.
I kind of like the faces.
Yeah, right.
That's a bit of a quirk,
Different opinions.
Yeah, interesting. All right, it's time for our final segment on the show, and that's the Patreon shout-outs. You can support this show at patreon.com/dogoonpod and support this show. Also, Do Go On, the podcast. This week's episode of Do Go On, if you haven't listened to it or if you don't know it, is really fun. It's about the story that inspired Moby Dick. And it's a real great fun episode, so do check that out. Here are some people who do support the show on Patreon, and one of the rewards is a readout of their name and their favorite primate. We've got fantastic names, always fantastic names.
Yeah, always good names on Patreon.
Moritz Ramuda, my favorite primate is the II, or is it the AA, because everyone needs to see that shit. Have you seen the AA?
What? No.
We'll quickly look it up.
How's it spelled?
A-Y-E. A-Y-E.
Ah.
It's a beautiful and distinctive-looking primate.
It's adorable.
Yeah.
And scary.
It does it all. Ticks all the boxes.
It's endangered.
Yeah, that's one of the boxes it ticks.
Apparently, says the Encyclopedia of Life.
Yeah, it is still hanging on to the Encyclopedia of Life, but if we don't look after it, it will be in that other...
Encyclopedia of Dead Animals.
Connor Dyball says, my favorite primate would have to be the elusive North American Sasquatch. Known for its ability to leave no credible evidence of its existence, the Sasquatch also knows Bigfoot.
What? Also known as Bigfoot.
Also known... It says
or do
also,
they know each other?
I think he's saying they know each other. Also right. Knows Bigfoot. Wanders the large wooded areas of the Pacific Northwest, rummaging through campsites and garbage cans, and in some instances, committing sexual acts on unwilling victims. What?
Yeah, that's weird.
Is that true? Anyway.
I think the Sasquatch would be the only one.
That's I'm going to put an allegedly on that one.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Daryl Finland says, my favorite primate is the capuchin because my favorite films as a kid were the Ace Ventura movies. I'm so sorry that we were a bit rough on those, Daryl. I quite liked them. I think looking back, I was too rough on them on those episodes. My favorite movies as a kid were the Ace Ventura movies and I Want My Own Spike, which was the monkey in the films.
But hang on, but Ripley was in Ace Ventura. But that's a different...
That's a chimp. This is a capuchin, yeah.
Right, okay.
I think Ripley would have just been the background. I don't think there was any key chimps. And Lewis Faustone says, favorite primate? Chimpanzee. So you might enjoy this episode. They're evolving, man. They use tools. They build stone monuments. And they almost look like they have bare bones religious structure. They're so fascinating. That's cool.
There's evidence of bare religion amongst bare chimpanzees. Bones. Yeah. Bare bones religion.
Thank you so much, Lewis and the others, for supporting us there on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/dogoonpod if you want to do that. And, that brings us to the end of the episode. Evan, where can people find you? On Gamey Gamey Game? What's the easiest way to check that out?
Yeah, just go to gameygame.com. And we're back on February 4th. We're on break at the moment over Christmas.
So about a week and a half away. But you can catch up on old episodes now. I've been on a bunch of them, and so has most of the guests on the show, Ben Russell, Jess Perkins.
Yes, Dave lots Warnicky. Of overlap.
So you should check that out. There'll be a link in the description. Your Twitter, Evan, is that the best? Or Instagram, what's the best?
Probably Twitter, but I can't remember what it is. It's at EvanMS, but I don't know if there's an underscore in there.
I'll put that in the description as well. You can find me on Twitter at MattStew_art, on Instagram and Facebook, Matt Stewart Comedy. And you can find Primates at PrimatesPod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And the email address is primatespod@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions for topics or anything like that into the future, thanks so much for joining us here in the Monkey House this week. Evan, we always riff a sign out that is primate related. If you would be willing to do that, I'll say thank you so much for joining us. And as we always say in the Monkey House.
Yeah, that's right. That was my putty.
That's primate related?
The classic line, yeah.
Oh, human. You are a piece of work.
Putty's a great human.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mr. Kramer, he's an innocent primate.
So am I.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.